a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studios at Hallis Hall. It's the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox, Jeff Joniak with you until 7:30 tonight. I just got to say what it is. He comes in here eating a chocolate chip cookie or something, so he's making me laugh, and I'm not going to hold it together. That's the whole key. Is that your victory cookie?
Exactly. this little
special dessert. Get that man a bottle of water. Well, good evening. How you doing, man? Oh my gosh, 27-24, the final score in overtime yesterday, and you say it over and over again. It's hard to win one game. Heck, it's hard to win one snap in the National Football League, and there's another example of it yesterday. I mean, honestly, Tom and I, we even joked afterwards. Hey, you know, we got to take it easy. We thought you had it in the bag already.
Well, it kind of had that appearance, but it always gets interesting. You just look around the league, and it happens every week, and it happened to us, but, to be able to go to Baltimore and, with a rookie quarterback and Mitchell Trubisky and him play like he did, it's pretty amazing. He did a great job.
The only other quarterback to win in Baltimore pre-John Harbaugh or current John Harbaugh era was Jake Plummer, the only rookie. That is saying something now. I don't care how you're looking at it. That's saying something. That's been a tough place to play, tough place to score points.
Yeah, no doubt. They've been known for defense for some time. I mean, I go back, we played the Ravens in the 2000 Super Bowl when I was with the New York Giants, and that defense was, since the 85 Bears, I mean, it's arguably the best one I know I've seen. And, they've been that way for some time.
We got to give a tip of the cap to the defense, too. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about the running game and about Mitchell, but that defense deserves a ton of credit. They were fierce all the way around from front to back.
Yeah, I think, we had two turnovers, and they held them, Baltimore, to two field goals in those situations and really didn't give up a real score. We had two scores in the kicking game, and, we just found a way to win.
Yeah, no touchdowns allowed. Three takeaways. You doubled your output in one game.
Yeah, I think, it was kind of nice playing with the lead. Again, we've only been in the lead in two games this year, and one was Pittsburgh we won, and then in Baltimore, where we scored first and we were able to play with a lead. And, I think that puts your opponent in a tough spot, and I think it opens up the avenue to get turnovers.
So they chose not to really work anything deep, or nothing was able to be produced deep. I think their longest pass play was 17 yards. So that speaks well not only to the rush but the coverage. And you guys took away a lot of windows for Joe Flacco, didn't you?
Yeah, I think our defense has been improving. And, we've had different guys rolling through there. We've had some issues at outside backer and inside backer. And, I think the good news is we've had some depth there with guys that have been with us that understand our, schemes. And, I think our secondary has been much improved. And, I think you saw it a little bit yesterday.
Two of the top stories right now, and not just locally, but they're getting attention nationally as well, are Kyle Fuller and Adrian Amos. Even beyond the pick six by Amos, Fuller was targeted 15 times yesterday, gave up five catches for 45 yards, 32 of those after the catch. So that speaks well to his tight coverage and his tackling.
Yeah, no doubt. He played big, and we needed him to play big. We knew, against Oakland the week before out there, they took some deep shots to Wallace, and he's got good deep speed. And, I think our coaching staff did a really good job, both Ed Donatell as well as Vic Fangio, preparing the guys. Our guys had a good understanding, good focus all week, and you prepare well, you play well.
Amos has really played well. I mean, even beyond this game, just his tackling in general, where he's shown up, his hard hits, and now the interception. The Baltimore boys, they're homecoming kings, for this game. I mean, that had to mean a lot to both of them, and maybe it did elevate their play a little bit, playing in front of people that, even Amos said some people in that stadium didn't think he'd ever make it to the NFL. He kept telling me he would.
Yeah, I think, that inspires guys, no doubt. Whether it's fans coming to camp, in the dog days of camp. And, I think for everybody, getting a chance to have a reunion with your family, friends, people you grew up with that, nobody ever envisions it. It's a dream. But for it to happen, and to be playing in that stadium, wearing a Bears jersey with your family and friends, will definitely motivate you.
Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman, boy, they're working well off each other. Last week, it was Akeem and Floyd working off each other. I'm assuming this is all coming together chemistry-wise with that bunch up front?
Yeah, I think with each and every week, I think our guys are starting to gain confidence and, you know, are playing inspired football. We were probably as crisp and, you know, quick to get to the ball as I've seen our defense in a while. And I don't know if it, you know, was the faster grass or whatever, but, you know, the guys played well.
I also heard, now sometimes these things take on a life of their own, that there were, and don't laugh at me. I'm just, what I heard.
I can't wait to hear this.
new drills designed to maybe increase the ability to take the ball away last week at practice, or are they just, is this just a bunch of, you know, stuff?
I think that's been a fairly constant emphasis has been the turnovers. And I think, you know, maybe it takes a while to figure out. I don't know.
But were there new drills? It sounded like we had some new drills.
Well, if they did, it was news to me. I'm saying we've been doing the same drills for a minute. I just think we executed better, and for sure we hawked the ball better, getting our first interception and second interception of the season. And then, you know, the strip fumble stuff, I think we've had the ball out. We just not recovered it. We might have the best percentage, though, as far as fumbles and recoveries. I think we've had 5 and gotten 4. So, you know, that part's good, but we just got to get more out.
All right, let's go over to the offense now, because Mitchell Trubisky put it up, what, 17 times? Mm-hmm. That's almost irrelevant, the number of throws yesterday, because you were going to run the ball on these guys, and Clear did a great job at it. But there were several plays within those 17 attempts that, you know, you and I talk about the wow moments. The wow moment on the step up with the pressure and the throw in overtime to Kendall Wright. That is a franchise quarterback play right there.
No doubt. You know, I think I'm going to go back a little bit further, but, you know, on the ball that was snapped over his head, there aren't many quarterbacks in this league that can make that play. I'm talking about recover it on the run, beat an unblocked defender, you know, flash outside of him and throw it away. That was a huge play. Probably not bigger than the one you're talking about, though, Jeff. I think, you know, it was an outstanding play. We didn't block it particularly great. He slid up into the pocket. Got pressure from the other side, threw it off his back foot, and, you know, threw a dime on Kendall Wright on 3rd and 11. And if we don't convert that, we're punting, believe it or not. It's a 41-yard line. You know, we're going to punt and give the ball back to Baltimore.
Maybe lost in that play from the casual observer. Jordan Howard picks up Brandon Carr, who was blitzing the corner blitz, and it was a perfect block so he could step up
exactly. And
get rid of the ball.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we talk constantly about team game and, you know, there was just a lot of those kind of plays. I mean, there's some plays we'd like to have back. There's some things, obviously, that we didn't do well. But, you know, at the end, you know, that was huge. Even before that, the run to get us down there, what a tremendous effort by Jordan Howard. And not just Jordan. I mean, there was a lot of guys on that play.
The Trey McBride block.
Yep.
That one.
Yeah.
As like bowling pins. He blindsided him good.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Deion Sims, you know, they cross-blocked it, and Deion Sims picked up a guy and, you know, shoot, if you look at it close, you can see Bobby Massey ran about 60 yards down the field, you know, on the backside. So just a lot of good efforts, and, you know, glad to come out of there with a win.
We'll pick it up from there. I want to talk about the little things that you talk to the players about, because we just talked about
the field goal try. DePaula on the ball, to long snap it back to O'Donnell on the left hash, angle right from 40, where he's 75% in his career. DePaula on it. O'Donnell to extend his right arm. It's there. Snap is there. Put down. Kick up by Bart. In overtime, the kick is good. Bears have won it in Baltimore. 40-yard boot. True. 27-24. Bears get the win with 2:06 remaining in overtime.
And here we are. John Fox on the Bears Coaches Show. You love it when it ends that way, that's for certain. What was the locker room like?
You know,
right
it
after.
It was great. You know, I think the guys, you know, were disappointed over the ending of the Minnesota game. I think they realized, you know, some of the missteps that we were taking and beating ourselves. And, you know, there was a real focused effort last week and all the preparation. And, you know, guys made up their mind that we weren't going to do that. We started fast. We scored first, which we'd only done in one other time, as I mentioned earlier, and that was against Pittsburgh. You know, so even when the tide shifted, and it shifted, you know, we had the game pretty much in hand. You know, they were driving, and Adrian Amos takes it back, pick six, and now, you know, it was all quiet again. And, you know, then we kind of, you know, we had a third and one opportunity to ice the game. You know, didn't get it, have to punt. They returned it back, get a two-point conversion, tie the game. You know, so lesser guys would have folded, you know, and maybe not finished. But our guys never gave up, even backed up on that last drive when Jordan pops the run. I mean, you know, that was huge, even if it was just for field position and we were able to go down and finish it.
It would be easy for a team that has not experienced a ton of winning twofold a little bit in that situation, because they're like, well, what else we got to do type of thing.
Well, I think if you look, you know, I think, you know, in the two games we've won, they've both been overtime games. And, you know, I think, you know, I always say some good things have to happen to gain confidence. Everybody says, well, you need confidence. Well, if nothing good happens, it's hard to have confidence. And so, you know, those are big moments. And you know, I'm really curious to see how we respond and in our preparation this week against a very good Carolina team.
And both games rushing for over 200 yards. You've said it from day one. This is going to be a run-oriented team that plays some very physical, tough defense. And those are two big ingredients. Again, if you don't have the lead early in a game, you can't do that anyway. You're working from a deficit. So that's got to be your formula right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I think, you know, every one of these takes on a different personality. We're digging into Carolina now, and, you know, our guys will understand what it's going to have to take and how we're going to have to approach it. You know, obviously, we keep that a little bit more tight-lipped, you know, as far as in the locker room. But, you know, I think our guys are really starting to buy into, you know, how to prepare and then how to execute the things that it's going to take to win that week.
When you're the head coach and you have the game plan for what you guys want to do, but because yesterday there were a bunch of, there was 14 runs that went for no gain or for losses. Now, that's a lot. You know, granted, you ran it 50-something times, but does it test the patience of everybody when it when you're not getting it all the time?
Yeah, I think it definitely does.
How do you handle that?
I mean, we were in a situation yesterday where I don't know how many times this has ever happened, but we ran the ball on first down, ran the ball on second down, and it was still third and 23.
Yeah.
I mean, so we lost 6 yards to the left, 7 yards to the right, and I'm like, how does this happen?
Two you know, steps forward.
So, you know, there's, you know, not everybody always sees that, but it's, and we were trying to avoid third down situations, and particularly third and 23. But I think those are things our guys are looking at, and we've got to eliminate those negative runs.
A question about the defense, and in particular the defensive backs, corners, obviously. Even though Joe Flacco was having difficulty getting their passing game off the ground, he was spreading it around. I think they had 10 different guys caught balls in the first half. You being a veteran defensive back coach as well and a coordinator, do corners feel better when he's targeting a guy 10 or 12 times versus spreading it around? Do they get in a rhythm, much like a running back works up his lather? Do corners, defensive backs, do they prefer getting one big target that they can clue in on, or is it harder when they spread it around?
Well, I think, you know, you got to take what the defense gives you. And if you have a dominant guy, you know, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, some guys we've seen this year, you know, smart defenses will take that guy away. So a lot of it depends on the scheme you're facing, the quarterback's reads. And really, really good quarterbacks, they take what the defense gives them. You know, if you start trying to force the ball in there, that's where you get in trouble. So I think, you know, again, it's based on that. I think our defense does a really good job at changing coverage up, changing things up. And sometimes that forces the ball to go different places.
Panthers in town. What happens when John Fox sees Carolina blue?
It's, you know, it's been a while now. You know, I've already faced that the first time when I was in Denver. We went back there and, you know, we had a very good game against them. So this is only the second time I've faced them since I've been gone. So, you know, like everybody, it's odd. You know, I don't know as many people now. It's been 7-8 years. I can't remember now, but, you know, still have a lot of fond memories. You know, I know ownership. I know some of the people. Heck, Marty Herney's back. He was my old GM. So there'll be some familiar faces. I got a couple players.
Well, Julius Peppers, just tearing it up again.
Yeah, it's not like he hasn't been anywhere since Carolina either. But
my gosh.
You know, Ryan Khalil's still there. Thomas Davis we drafted. So there's a few players.
The running back,
still there.
Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan Stewart we drafted. So there's four or five guys, but it's been a minute since You know, I've been there.
And Cam Newton, another one of these Super Bowl quarterbacks you faced in the first half of the season. He'll keep you busy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, just double-edged sword. I mean, he can run the ball. You know, he's a tremendous athlete, and, you know, he can make all the throws. So, you know, they've gotten Christian McCaffrey back there. He's kind of done like what Tariq Cohen's done this year. He's kind of a joker back, and he's a big part of their offense. So they've got a couple of big targets outside, and, you know, their defense is pretty salty. They're top five in the league, so that'll be another tough defense we'll have to go up against.
All right, good luck with your preparation. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. Zach Cazzani, the receivers coach for the Bears, coming back on the other side of news.
Shotgun snap, Trubisky from the 41, immediately under pressure. Dodges, fires, up in the air, caught, Kendall Wright on Webb for a first down inside the Raven 25. Some nifty footwork in the pocket by Trubisky. Bought him a moment in a window. And up in the air in an athletic catch, Kendall Wright. First down, Bears!
That was big. Set up the game-winning field goal, and the Bears polish off the Ravens in Baltimore. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. Here with you until 7:30 tonight, and we're with Zach Cazzani. He's in that room with Kendall Wright, and it was an odd game, I'm sure, for the receivers.
Sure it was. Yep.
Because, was it four targets, two catches?
Yeah.
But that one, and to be fair, when Kendall was on the field, he was on there for a lot of passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the majority of the passes on that. But, boy, that was huge. And the play from front to back was solid.
Absolutely. You know, he has a knack for making plays. You know, that's why he's out there. And I mean, that the play by Mitchell was tremendous, to slide in the pocket and put that ball up there. That was two big-time players making a play when we needed it the most.
Now, what do you tell your players when your whole week it's going to be about blocking mostly, and they know that going in? Is it setting their mind for that? Is that part of the process? Because at least that's the plan. The plan could change if you go down 21-0, and now you're going to – so you got to prepare them from everything. But, you know, mentally, were they ready for what they were going to?
There's no doubt. You know, I've been coaching receivers for 17 years, and I've had years where I've had 4,000-yard receivers, and I've coached at Wisconsin where we block a lot, and Western Kentucky where we ran the heck out of the ball. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of whatever it takes. You know, you got to have a whatever it takes mentality in that room. And, you know, I always tell them that the how we block sets up the pass, not only for the offense, but for you as an individual player. The harder you block, the harder you get after those guys. Corners don't like to be touched. So you keep getting after them, and then all of a sudden that pass play opens up a little bit more. And it's a style of play that we hang our hat on. I was proud of the way they came out. They were unselfish. They played their tails off. Of course, receivers want the ball. They want a chance to go win the game with the ball in their hands. But that's not the way the game went that day. It was something else we had to do to go win. And at this point, we wanted to win so bad, it's whatever it took. And I was proud of them. They played hard. They played tough. And they put some good things on film.
You know, going back to what you said about blocking a corner over and over again, because, yes, they don't love contact unless they're wired that way. And there are certainly some corners, and they appear to be on our team here, too, with Kyle Fuller right now and the way Prince Amukamara is playing as well. Can you actually show them on tape repeated plays where a receiver is blocking the heck out of a corner all game and it does open up a pass? Is it more than just lip service?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have cut-ups upon cut-ups of that, and that's a big deal for me. Because it's, you know, as a receiver coach, sometimes it's difficult to get guys to buy into that style of play. Hard-nosed play in the perimeter. We're going to block, be violent, you know, be nasty out there. But you can show them, domination of your opponent doesn't happen snap one. It happens over time. All of a sudden, that third quarter comes, that fourth quarter comes, where Kendall Wright's on that slot. And you know what? The way we blocked might open up that post a little bit more for him to catch that ball. And you can show them that over time. You can show them body language of DBs that don't like to get hit repeatedly and things. So, yeah, it's fun to show them that stuff, and it's a buy-in. Hey, this helps you get open later, and if you can sell it like that sometimes, you get a little more buy-in for sure.
You can three tight ends and a bunch set to the right. Snap on second down and 11. Back to throw on the pitch to Cohen into the end zone. Lobs it to Zach Miller. Right corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! They toss to Cohen. Tariq goes up in the air. Cunningham, chest to chest. Oh, yeah, the little guy is big man on campus. His first NFL passing touchdown.
Yeah, it's something. You know, he was raving about his deep ball accuracy today. So If you got a 50 in there, if you got a 50 yarder, he's willing.
Oh, he'll try it too.
Oh my gosh. He pointed you out today too, because he said he basically has three coaches on the team. He's got his running backs coach, he's got Kendall Wright, and he's got Azani.
Yeah.
So what are you teaching Tariq Cohen in the receiving game?
I'll tell you what, he's so willing. He comes out there early every day and tries to get on the jugs machine. I don't want to say tries. He does get on the jugs machine with us and just always working on his hand placement, catching balls, and comes over and asks me about route technique and things like that. So I love guys like that that are willing to learn. They put their ego aside and, hey, how can I get better, coach? Help me. And he's done a heck of a job now.
I just want to see, because from one of the views on the TV copy, he even admits he didn't see. He just threw it. He couldn't see. It's tall timber. I mean, literally, he just lobs it up. And it was a dime.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of guys. He just has a knack for playing the game. It's uncanny. It really is.
Tanner Gentry gets it's up since the Tampa game, and he goes on the field for 76 snaps. I believe he had one targeted throw. So, here he gets another chance, and we're thinking, okay, he's going to be a part of the passing game. Here again, back to what you were talking about earlier, getting a guy's mindset right. How did he fare? How did he fare in the blocking aspect of the game and just being out there, in a sense, almost as a decoy for what you guys were doing offensively?
Yeah, Tanner is he's a really, really good receiver. I mean, he's got phenomenal ball skills. He's big. He's tough. He's learning the game. And when I say learning the game at this level, coming from where he came from. It was a tough game to get started as a rookie, I'll tell you. Going against those guys, two of the better
Jimmy
corners
Smith.
In the league. I mean,
awesome.
Yeah, he's
face-to-face with him almost the whole game.
Tall, long, and pressed him the whole game. I don't think Tanner will ever forget his first start in the National Football League going against him. But he held his own in the perimeter blocking for sure. I mean, to the point where they were kind of getting mad at him, which is what I like. I'm like, don't take that veteran stuff. You get after him, because I'll tell you what, when the ball's in the air, he's going to make sure you know it too now. And he did. He held his own, and did a good job. He got, there's some times where he got covered, but that's going to happen, we're going to watch it on film. We're going to get better at it, and he's going to be better for it, because he's a hungry kid. He's a prideful kid. He works his tail off, doesn't say a word, and he's our kind of guy.
What kind of coverages are you seeing now with Mitchell versus Mike, and is it what you've expected, or are teams – basically challenging your quarterbacks to find an open receiver or a receiver to get open?
Sure. Well, that's a great question, but it's a little bit different because they know Mitchell can take off and run. I mean, he's got the keeper game. He can run nakeds and things like that maybe weren't Mike's forte, that Mitchell can do a little bit better on that in that regard. So we are seeing some different coverages. We saw some more split safety this last week, which
is out of the ordinary. Yeah.
And we're an outside zone team. They wanted the ball to go inside, and they didn't want Mitchell to get on the edge. So Dowell did a great job of just dialing up all the inside runs, and we just kept pounding them and got after them. Just like Coach Fox said earlier, we took what the defense was giving us, and that's what they were giving us. And, it didn't take a 400-yard passing day from Mitchell and running all over the place. It took a let's run the ball up the middle and keep them honest, and that's what we did.
Also starting, Trey McBride. And his block on the 53-yard overtime run by Jordan Howard was outstanding. And I remember talking to you at training camp, and I asked you near the end of one of our short, brief conversations. I don't even think it was on recorder. Mm-hmm. I said, these guys is blockers. And you said, work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Pittsburgh game, they kicked some tail, 200-plus yards rushing. This game kicked some tail. Talk about that particular block and what it does for a young player like McBride. And he has experience. It's not like he's a raw rookie. What does it do for them moving forward now and with our mindset of being a running football team until further notice?
We got on the plane. The first thing I did, Coach Washburn had the iPad, and he came up. He goes, look at this block Trey had on the big run. He goes, it is tremendous. This ball isn't spit out of there if he doesn't do that. And so right away I texted Trey, who was sitting back in the back, and I said, hey, man, big-time block on the run. I mean, wow, that's as good as it gets. That's a clinic tape block. And he texted me back, whatever it takes, Coach. And that just shows you the unselfishness of him. And sure, receivers want 100 yards a game. But they do. But that block helped us win the game, just like Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson's block for the Steelers helped us win that game. And, if you're out there just blocking and it never shows up, that's one thing. But if you're out there blocking on game-winning runs, that's another thing. So it might not have been the diving catch that maybe Trey thought about when he was 5 years old, but it was a big-time block that I'm pretty sure the offense and Jordan Howard appreciated.
And Tony Jefferson, the safety of note, too, heck of a safety. He won't forget it either because he got whacked pretty darn good. This is Zach Cazzani, the Bears receivers coach. One more with Zach Cazzani, the Bears receivers coach, for a couple of more minutes before we cut him loose as they get ready to meet the Carolina Panthers. You've been busy in your career. 8 college stops. You coached Antonio Brown, arguably. You got to put him in the top 5 of receivers in football. A total weapon when you were at Central Michigan. And as luck would have it, Bobby Rainey, who took the kickoff return for a touchdown, you were his offensive coordinator at Western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And not far removed, obviously, from Tennessee in recruiting. You know these players in
I
this
do.
League.
Yeah.
Very well. I mean, you recruited Miami and Fort Lauderdale. That was your expertise down there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is it easy to relatable to these guys then?
Yeah, it's neat. You know, it's really helped me because I've been in all these guys' hometowns. You know, I've been in a lot of these guys' houses, and every team has guys I've recruited, whether they came to play at wherever school I was or not. You know, I got to know them. I mean, Ryan Shazier runs up to me and my wife and gives us a big hug right before the game. He was committed to us when I was at Florida.
He's a Steelers linebacker.
Yeah, and so – it was a lot of those kind of guys throughout the league. Bobby Rainey, you know, Bobby Rainey was my tailback at my first coordinator job, and he was the best player I had. So it was real easy to be a coordinator. I just handed it to him every time. So it made me look better than I was. But it's a lot of fun seeing all these kids grow up and do this for their career.
And obviously you have inside knowledge on a lot of these guys too. Does that help?
It sure does. Yeah, it sure does. It helps and knowing what they were in college and also like we just spoke about Eddie Jackson. I mean, I've watched Eddie Jackson play since he's a sophomore and, you know, everyone's unbelievable ball skills. Well, because he was a receiver. I mean, that's what he did. He was not a DB and to see what he has become now is remarkable and I'm proud of him.
Obviously, you spent a lot of time working your craft at the college game. Are you enjoying, I mean, this is probably a silly question because you're here right now. You're not going to say anything other than that, but the challenge of it, being in the NFL.
Absolutely. It's a completely different game, and it's fun. You know, it's a fun challenge. That just everything that people don't even think about, the field being different. I mean, there's just so many different things. Yeah, it's a different game. It's a different chess match that way. Having only 46 players on game day and having to move the pieces around like we do Tariq and – you know, you don't have 10 receivers standing behind you. You can rotate through. So it's a cool challenge. It's a fun challenge. And looking forward just to go out winning some more football games.
Well, we'll cut you loose to get ready for the Carolina Panthers. Plenty to work on right there. Very good defense. Zach Cazzani, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
In our first segment tonight, Coach Fox and what looked like was in the bag, then tightened up a little bit. But a big win for the Bears.
Well, it kind of had that appearance, but you know, it always gets interesting. You just look around the league, and it happens every week, and it happened to us. But, you know, to be able to go to Baltimore and, with a rookie quarterback and Mitchell Trubisky and him play like he did, it's pretty amazing. He did a great job.
The only other quarterback to win in Baltimore pre-John Harbaugh or current John Harbaugh era was Jake Plummer, the only rookie. That is insane. Something now. I don't care how you're looking at it. That's saying something. That's been a tough place to play, tough place to score points.
Yeah, no doubt. They've been known for defense for some time. I mean, I go back, you know, we played the Ravens in the 2000 Super Bowl when I was with the New York Giants, and that defense was, you know, since the 85 Bears, I mean, it's arguably the best one I know I've seen. And, you know, they've been that way for some time.
We got to give a tip of the cap to the defense, too. I mean, you know, we're going to talk a lot about the running game and about Mitchell, but that defense deserves a ton of credit. They were fierce all the way around from front to back.
Yeah, I think, we had 2 turnovers, and they held them Baltimore to 2 field goals in those situations and really didn't give up a real score. You know, we had 2 scores in the kicking game, and we just found a way to win.
Yeah, no touchdowns allowed. 3 takeaways. You doubled your output in 1 game.
Yeah, I think... it was kind of nice playing with the lead. You know, again, we've only been in the lead in 2 games this year, and one was Pittsburgh, we won, and then, you know, in Baltimore, where we scored first, and we were able to play with the lead. And, you know, I think that puts your opponent in a tough spot, and I think it opens up the avenue to get turnovers.
So they chose not to really work anything deep, or nothing was able to be produced deep. I think their longest pass play was 17 yards. So that speaks well not only to the rush but the coverage. And you guys took away a lot of windows for Joe Flacco, didn't you?
Yeah, I think our defenses have been improving. And, you know, we've had different guys rolling through there. You know, we've had some issues at outside backer and inside backer. And, you know, I think the good news is we've had some depth there with guys that have been with us that understand our, you know, schemes. And, you know, I think our secondary has been much improved. And, you know, I think you saw it a little bit yesterday.
Two of the top stories right now, and not just locally, but they're getting attention nationally as well, are Kyle Fuller and Adrian Amos. Even beyond the pick six by Amos, Fuller was targeted 15 times yesterday. Mm-hmm. Gave up 5 catches for 45 yards, 32 of those after the catch. So that speaks well to his tight coverage and his tackling.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, he played big, and we needed him to play big. We knew, you know, against Oakland the week before out there, you know, they took some deep shots to Wallace, and he's got good deep speed. And, you know, I think our coaching staff did a really good job, both Ed Donatell as well as Vic Fangio, you know, preparing the guys. Our guys had a good understanding, good focus all week. And you prepare well, you play well.
Amos has really played well. I mean, even beyond this game, just his tackling in general, where he's shown up, his hard hits, and now the interception. You know, the Baltimore boys, you know, they're homecoming kings, you know, for this game. I mean, that had to mean a lot to both of them, and maybe it did elevate their play a little bit, playing in front of people that, you know, even Amos said some people in that stadium didn't think he'd ever make it to the NFL. He kept telling them he would.
Yeah, I think, you know, that inspires guys, no doubt. You know, whether it's fans coming to camp, you know, in the dog days of camp. And, you know, I think for everybody, you know, getting a chance to have a reunion with your family, friends, you know, people you grew up with that, you know, nobody ever envisions it. It's a dream, but for it to happen, you know, and to be playing in that stadium, you know, wearing a Bears jersey with your family and friends, you know, will definitely motivate you.
That's John Fox and the Coach's Show in the book. Sunday's game against the NFC South. Carolina Panthers brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, the official healthcare provider of the Chicago Bears. For John Fox and Zach Cazzani, producer Dan Barilli and Andy Gersher and Keith Johnson, thanks for joining us, everybody. Bears-Panthers from Carolina Sunday, starting with a 9 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WDBM.